Welcome back to Open Jam here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Gallatin of Texas Longhorns on SI. And of course, you, the third member of Open Jam. Text line's up at 512-222-9328 is the text line number. Or you can hit us up right there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, or of course, over there on YouTube, where most of you reside for us. And we appreciate you hanging out with us here on a Friday. It is an open bar, Open Jam Friday, but as discussed, Matt and I are sober today. out of old man resting needs. One of my favorite injury reports from the Spurs back in the day was Tim Duncan, old. Like, the reason why he was out is like, it's too old, man. Can't be out there. I don't know the last time, if ever, I drank for like 2 days starting early enough on a Wednesday and a Thursday. On the weekend, I've done it plenty. You watch football all day on Saturday and Sunday, and you drink on Saturday and Sunday, and I'm used to this. It was weird on a Wednesday and Thursday, and then you're like, it's Friday now, so it's throwing me off completely. But as we keep going, yes, Wisner is his top number three tight end, or are you hitting it with CB? Do you mean injuries as a number three tight end?
That's probably injuries. I can see that being accurate.
Okay, yeah. No, I mean, I think that's about right. Jack Injuries is, you know, I think people are going to look at this season and kind of chalk that up to not necessarily him being at fault as much. And when you get those guys who can block well enough and catch, they're always going to be a prospect of the right size in the NFL. So there's going to be a part of it where they're going to be excited to be able to get a guy like him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be a prototypical, you know, modern-day NFL tight end, a lot like, you know, those tight ends they have in Buffalo, just, you know, an athletic guy that can move but can also hold up in blocking and do those kinds of things. I mean, he's going to be really good. I wish he had had a better season, but, you know, there was just too much dysfunction early on, and once they got it figured out, it was a little bit too late, but you know, he's going to be a good pro. I have no doubt about that. I do have a couple of pieces of portal news for you, Patrick.
Okay, what you got for me?
First off, there is a program that is drawing some buzz for DeAndre Moore out of the portal. Okay. According to Greg Biggins, DeAndre Moore is expected to take a visit, or has at least has heard from Colorado, and other schools that he's been included in the conversation with have been Ohio State, UCLA, Kentucky, and LSU. So a couple SEC teams, a couple Big Ten teams, and a Big 12 team. Kind of for him, it kind of depends on what I'm looking for. I'm not sure Ohio State is the destination for me if I'm looking to get number one targets.
Yeah,
because they got a guy named Jeremiah Smith that is going to be coming back next year. And they also have, you know, a host of other receivers in there that are really, really good. So that's kind of interesting. And then, on the Cam Coleman front, Steve Wiltfong has reported that, Coleman is currently in Austin to visit the Longhorns, which we already knew, and that Texas's confidence is high that they can land him. He's going to take the A&M trip after the Texas trip. But he's also hearing from multiple sources not to sleep on Texas Tech in this recruitment. Texas Tech is ready to present Coleman with a significant NIL offer, as well as being featured in the offense, and that they are definitely a team to watch. Here's the thing about that, and I get it. Like, a big NIL offer is a big NIL offer. Texas is also going to make a big NIL offer, and so is Texas A&M. Who do you want throwing you the football, Cam?
Well, I mean, look, he'll put up numbers in the Big 12. I mean, they'll lose their first playoff game again because their offense was garbage. But their defense is really, really good, but their offense was terrible. I'm with you. I think it's, who do you want to have throwing you the ball? Who do you want your coaches to be? Who do you want to be there? Dude, Kentucky's interesting.
They're going all in, man.
Well, I mean, they got Will Stein now, so they got a coach that I like is a young, interesting coach. But do you hear CJ Baxter's name? You hear Sam Leavitt's name there as well. that he's in there, that they're offering, you know, DeAndre, you're like, they're throwing a lot of names out there of guys who maybe underperformed this season. And they're going to say, we can turn these guys into elite players that they were supposed to be, because we know they have the talent. But if they're kind of looking for a new start, Kentucky could be a wildly different looking team, especially offensively next season, after the kind of Mark Stoops, maybe not as exciting. It'll be interesting to see how much money they want to spend to go in and compete with that. But if they get leave it, it opens the door to get more guys that want to come play for them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you heard some of these other Texas names or other big school names that, you know, are in the portal or who are going to enter the portal, considering Kentucky, because it really seems like they're being aggressive. Will Stein is most definitely not Mark Stoops. We'll put it that way. It looks like he's going all in and trying to turn this thing around and make them a competitive team, which would only make the SEC better. I don't think – does Texas play Kentucky next year? I don't think they do.
I don't know off the top of my head.
I don't have a schedule in front of me. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I know they play Florida again.
But it'll be interesting to see what if they can turn that program. I hope not, because I'd prefer to have a couple of easier teams in the SEC still. let's not fix all of them, guys. Let's not fix
all of them. Alabama's trending that way, aren't they?
Oh, come on. Come on. Team won a playoff game. Oklahoma's trending that way. We can say Oklahoma's going to trend that way. Yeah.
You know. It's very rare that when you hear our arch rival's quarterback is coming back, that Texas fans actually get excited about it.
Yes. You're going to keep him? Good, 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 good about that. Matt, playoffs over the weekend. Miami beats Ohio State on Friday night by 10. They reverse covered the spread. Reverse cover the spread. They were 9.5-point dogs. They cover 10 the other way. That defense is playing really good football.
Mm-hmm.
And Carson Beck has shown up for two games. He's played well enough. He's done what they need him to do and not ruin the game like I thought he would do, and play really poorly. And they can run the ball. Mark Fletcher, 4.7 yards per carry. They're running the football well. Like, this is an interesting Miami team now, because their confidence has to be through the roof.
Yeah, they're really good. I underestimated them in this one. I think I probably overrated Ohio State a little bit, but I really underestimated Miami. I do think it's a little bit disingenuous of Texas A&M fans to come out and say, like, oh, we would have beaten Ohio State if we had just finished that one against Miami. Like, that's not the same. Like, you can't do the...
You're right, and we would have beaten every team in the playoffs by 30. It doesn't. It's not real.
Yeah, the transitive property of college football does not work. But I was really like that. That Miami front on defense is unbelievable. Like Reuben Bain had 9 pressures in that game. He was making Julian Sands' life a living hell, and that's how you have to beat Ohio State. And credit to them, they did it. It's going to be a much different matchup for them against Ole Miss, because you got a quarterback that can really move around a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm legitimately scared of that football game. And I probably wouldn't have, like, if you had drawn up the perfect scenario for me in my head before the playoffs started, it's like somehow Miami squeaks past Texas A&M and Ohio State and Ole Miss beats Georgia. And then I'm like, oh yeah, then Ole Miss is guaranteed to make it to the national title game. But like, man, after watching that defense, I'm terrified of that football team.
Yeah, I mean, they're coming after him. It's going to be a really good matchup. But yeah, I was not expecting at all for Ohio State to come out. But this, again, falls into bye weeks didn't necessarily help them out. The amount of time. Also, let's make fun of Matt Patricia again. That maybe there's a lot of really good coaches and really good players, but the game plan itself wasn't what it needed to be. Didn't have his guys ready to go. And it ends up with Ohio State, and now no repeat winner. Ohio State not going to repeat. You have to go figure out some of those things. You could have talked about possibly the difference of Brian Hartline maybe not being able to be fully invested. And, you know, some of these coaches, when they have two jobs, and I get you, Ole Miss has two jobs right now too. A lot of these guys are two jobs, and Lane Kiffin's graciously allowing. I feel like if they make it to a national championship, Lane Kiffin's going to be like, guys, you can't coach there. I need you at LSU. Feels like a Lane Kiffin move out of spite. That one was a big surprise, and he went like, okay, let's set it up for what we think is going to happen tomorrow. Then we get Oregon and Texas Tech in the morning, and this one was the only one where the lower-ranked team felt like they had a chance to win this one. The other ones, it kind of all felt like, no, the top-ranked team, these are the best teams in the country. Georgia, Indiana, and Ohio State felt like the three of the best teams in the country. So he thought they're pretty hand, they're going to win. Oregon and Texas Tech, neither one of those teams feels like one of the three best teams in the country, but they are now. Oregon is in the Final Four, and Texas Tech offense, no bueno in this game, man. All the money they spent to fix that defense, and what did it get them? Zero playoff points. So Cody Campbell wants to spend all the money again, and he can. It's his little project. He can do that. But, man, you have to be pissed off. If you spent millions upon millions of dollars, you make it to the playoffs, win the Big 12, and you play your first playoff game ever, and you don't score a point.
Here's an interesting stat for you, Patrick. Former Texas defensive tackle Byron Murphy,
yes,
has scored more points in the college football playoff than Texas A&M and Texas Tech combined.
I like that. I like that stat. It's a good one. It's not hard to do. It's, see, Brian Murphy, it's not that hard. You know, we put up points in our games. Yeah, we just saw they weren't, you know, they ran the ball. You know, Jacoby Williams was able to run the football, right? But they didn't stick to it because they got so far behind. They had to start throwing the ball. And then, yeah, we see Baron Morton be Baron Morton and look like he is like the guy that we thought he was going to be. Two interceptions, no touchdowns, 137 yards. Didn't really look like he was able to ever get anything downfield and push the ball and get it going. And once they got behind, it was over. There was no way they're going to have the firepower to slow down Oregon. And so, you know, you were in it in the first half, 6-0 at half. You got to think, okay, guys, we're pretty in this. All we got to do, one touchdown, we're winning. And then Oregon started to figure it out offensively, you know, because at that point, their offense is on the field so much more than the defense. You know, they're rested. Oregon's defense is rested. Texas Tech, even though they're really talented, is just getting tired by the end of the game, and Oregon starts to take over with their speed and everything else that they've got going for them. And just not a prolific performance from Dante Moore, to say anything, but did enough to get some points on the board, and then Texas Tech, nothing.
Yeah, like I mentioned, I slept through almost this entire football game because I didn't sleep the night before. But I went back and rewatched some of it. Man, Dante Moore is really good. He can just spin into tight spots, and he's such a pure quarterback. I love watching him play. It's just like Oregon is such a tough football team, and I don't think they get credit for it because that's a really physical Texas Tech team. It's really physical. And they went toe for toe with them offensively against that really good defense, and they beat him into the ground. Jordan Davison is also awesome. He's like the 240-pound running back that they have. He's so good. I love watching him play too. But here's my thing, and I know that, you know, my Big 12 listeners are probably not going to like what I have to say here. The Big 12 is glorified Group of Five. It really is. You spend that much money in the transfer portal. And I've got Texas Tech fans that I know that are in my ear like, oh, the SEC isn't shit. Like, we're, you know, the Big 12 is real football. This is America's conference. Like, we're going to put just as many people in the NFL as the SEC in the next couple years. And you come out and you play like that. Imagine what would have happened to BYU had they had to go up against Ole Miss in round one. Instead of James Madison or Tulane or one of those other ones. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
It's disgusting football. It's bad football. So why would you want to go play in that conference when the best team that has come out of the Big 12 out, you know, since Texas and Oklahoma left into the playoff gets absolutely dog walked by an Oregon team that, that is very flawed.
Yeah, definitely not. And I mean, we're saying the third best team in the Big Ten. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. It was a very eye-opening thing. And that's, you know, as we see, clearly the reports are right now that Cody Campbell, because whenever we hear Texas Tech is going to spend a lot of money, you immediately go to him, right? You immediately go, this is the guy who's been very vocal that he is trying to basically ruin college sports to make it so that they're better again in his image, right? But his idea is, I will pay for everything to come to my school, and then when we win five straight national titles, they'll have to change the rules because I'm going to ruin the game. And how did that work out for him this year? It did not. So he ruined the Big 12. Cool. It's not exactly the same empowering thing. And they still lost to Arizona State. They still weren't even undefeated. So that, you know, sure, he's going to say now we want to fix it. But the problem is you still have to refix that defense again. You got to go spend all that money again to make that defense as good as it's going to be. Or else, what are you going to do? I don't know if you're going to be able to keep that going. So you got to pay all that money for that defense. You pay all the money for the defense, and now you got to pay it on the offense. You got to find yourself a quarterback. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be. So are they keeping Barry Morton?
I think that they're going really hard after Brennan Sorsby from Cincinnati is what I've heard, but he's also been connected to LSU as well. So,
yeah, but that's, again, you're taking another Big 12 guy, leaving him, like, you're not elevating and putting him with a top level quarterback. Which, I mean, you never know. Trinidad Chambliss is coming out, and he's a beast this year, so you never know. But it feels like a guy that you're getting that was pretty good at Cincinnati. If you give him Cam Coleman, he'll be better.
any quarterback's going to be better with Cam Coleman.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to say to that. I just want to
say this. People have had issues with Texas receivers dropping passes this year. Obviously, it's been a big point of contention. Cam Coleman had three drops this season, and they were in the first four games. He didn't drop a single pass after that the rest of the season. So if you don't want a receiver that's going to drop balls,
there you go.
He's your guy.
Let's look at that Alabama game then, Matt. Alabama versus Indiana. I guess I should say Indiana game after that whooping. This one was starting out a little bit slow. Alabama felt like, you know, they weren't able to get going against the Indiana offense or Indiana defense. And then all of a sudden, the floodgates open up. You look at it, and there was a play in the game on a fourth down and one. Kalen DeBoer, like his own 30. Decides to go for it early in the game, and Indiana scores their first points off of that. And from that point on, or maybe there was their second touchdown, but it was like they needed points. They wanted to go. They felt they could pick up the yard. This is a team who has been able to run all season, yet they still run the football there. They don't get it, and that just felt like they were to Alabama never got over that. And Indiana just took that momentum and ran the rest of the game. And, you know, you're watching, you go, if Alabama just settles down and figures it out and starts to play better, they did it against Oklahoma. They were down and they came back. Indiana just did not allow that to happen. They've been really good at this year of maintaining momentum and playing straight through with confidence and with poise. We say, if you watch this Indiana team, there's a lot of fourth and fifth year players on this roster. There's a lot of guys with playing time under their belt. And they don't make those simple mistakes a lot of times of getting a dumb penalty or, maybe missing a snap or being in the wrong position and the play falls apart. You just don't see that as much with them. And so they couldn't run the football, and then they benched Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson is a Heisman favorite at one point in the season, gets benched for Austin Mack. After going 12 for 16, he just couldn't get it downfield. And so they think they're going to put in somebody else, and Austin Mack comes in. It doesesn't do a ton either. He's 11 of 16 for 103 yards. Neither one of them necessarily was any better than the other, but a bold move to bench your quarterback in the game when he wasn't necessarily playing awful football.
Yeah, I was wondering if he was hurt, if he got hurt when he took that big hit and fumbled. Maybe that had something to do with it. I thought Austin Mack looked really good on that first drive. I was really impressed with him, but then nothing really happened with him for the rest of the game. Alabama, like, This is why I have an issue with the way the college football playoff rankings ended up. Alabama and Oklahoma had no business being in the playoff. Both of those teams are ass. Straight up ass. Like, they're really good at one or two things, particularly Oklahoma. Oklahoma has really good defense. But their offense is atrocious. Alabama, I really don't think was good at anything down the stretch of the season, except for Ty Simpson pulling stuff out of his ass and making great plays to win games late. They got in Oklahoma's and John Mateer's head in that playoff game, which, you know, credit to them for doing that. But neither of those teams were playoff teams.
Yeah.
And now it seems like Vanderbilt wasn't a playoff team either, because they just got run over by Iowa. I know it ended up being a close game, but, you know, Diego Pavia coming out at one point during in the fall and saying that you got to score 7 points to beat Iowa, and then Iowa goes out and puts up 34 on Vanderbilt. Gotta love that.
Love it. It's been a rough road for some of these SEC teams in the playoffs. It's not the look that the SEC wants, but it is what happened. And you just saw some flawed teams across the board in like Oklahoma and Alabama, and the similar problem that Texas had for a lot of the state. You couldn't run the football. If you can't run the football, it's really, really hard to win big football games. And we saw it with Texas this year, and we've definitely seen it for Alabama and Oklahoma. And that was Alabama played a better game against Oklahoma, but you can't run the football. Going to be hard to beat a team like Indiana. And then finally, Matt, rounded out the night. Probably the worst game. Nothing fun happened in that last game, right? It's nothing big in the Sugar Bowl. Ohio State knocking off Georgia to win 39-34. Just a crazy game.
Yeah, Bandit, I think you're absolutely right, by the way. Is that the best college football playoff game we've seen this year? I think it is. I can't think of another one that was that exciting.
No, I don't.
I mean, that was an unbelievable football game. That's one of the best playoff games we've seen.
Yeah, I was trying to go through them in my head, but we're like, it wasn't Alabama, Oklahoma. It wasn't Miami, A&M. It wasn't clearly the other two in the first round. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's, I guess you could look at, Miami Ohio State is exciting. It's still a 10-point game. Yeah. I think this was more exciting than that.
I was really scared heading into this game because I don't know how many people remember, but the first time these two teams played this year, Ole Miss did not force a Georgia punt one time. And Georgia didn't force an Ole Miss punt until the fourth quarter. So I expected Georgia to come out with a very similar game plan and try and run it down our throats and just control the clock. But credit to Pete Golding, man. He really made a lot of really good adjustments as the game went on as well, because Georgia was effective running the football early, and then he kind of shut that down as the game went on. The pass rush got really, really good. They were getting after Gunnar Stockton and really putting some good licks on him as well. That one that he got off that – he just got absolutely crushed. I was like, there's no way he's not concussed. And he just got up and ran down and kept going, because he's a tough-ass dude. But Trinidad Chambliss, that was one of the best performances by a quarterback in a single game that I've seen in a really long time. The way that he was able to create with his legs and keep plays alive and then throw it on a rope, like absolute dots on the move while people are chasing him down to the sideline. It was unbelievable football. It really was. And the referees were atrocious. That game is probably not remotely the same game if, you know, you get that face mask call from that they missed on Kwon Lacy.
Yeah.
Well, this probably holds the ball for another 2 or 3 minutes if they get that. If they at least get one more first down, they're able to work some more clock. But I knew this was going to happen too, man. I knew this was going to happen. Ole Miss got up 10 with like 8 minutes left to go or something like that.
Yes.
And then I started getting text messages from my brother. They're going to do it. From, you know, some of my other friends. Like, I can't believe we're going to beat Georgia. Like all this stuff. I'm like, guys, stop. You're going to jinx it. And damn near if they didn't, man. Like it was so close. If it wasn't for Trinidad hitting – three of the best plays that I've ever seen in that football game. I don't know how Ole Miss survives that one. And then the refs giving Georgia another chance at the end of that game, like you just kind of felt like something crazy was going to happen, the way that it just kept going on and on and on.
Yeah.
Like, and how about the Ole Miss defensive tackle? I can't remember which one it was. It was one of their two defensive tackles. I think it was 51 coming out and just flaming Lane Kiffin after the game. Did you hear
his name? Yeah, I mean, it was troll. He was like, he's a troll. And
yeah, love that stuff. But I'm really proud of that team, man. They battled. They were tired. They were beat up. And they somehow found a way to do it, man. Credit to them. And it's very rare that you see Georgia make mistakes that lose them football games. But the fumble by Gunnar Stockton was one of them on that fourth down. And then, you know, that when they tried to go for it on that last fourth down, it didn't work out for them. Like all of that stuff, like that doesn't happen to Georgia very often. So it was really nice to be on the opposite end of that for a change. You know what I mean? Especially like in the first half, because it just really felt like Ole Miss was playing well, but they were just doing these things that were beating themselves, like the drops and the fumble return for a touchdown and not getting out of bounds at late in the first half and the clock running out and that mismanagement of the clock when they could have had a field goal, all that stuff. But it worked out, man. It really did. And I couldn't be happier. And speaking of jinxing it, by the way, I got home from my buddy's house from watching that game. And I immediately hopped on United.com and I was like, I wonder what tickets to Miami look like right now. I was like, no, I can't do it. I can't buy one. That would be the ultimate jinx.
Oh, man. By the way, did you notice who did not text you until the game was over? This guy.
My friend Patrick.
This guy knows to not jinx it.
So, yes, I really appreciated that, actually, because I got so many texts after they went up 10 that I was like, oh, all of these people are going to ruin my dreams.
Oh my God. No, dude, you never send that text. I've yelled at so many people for that. And there's one of like, I have a buddy who we know about it. And so when we have like a team that we're rooting for different teams in a game, we will always text each other congratulations, like starting really early in the game. Just be like, congrats for the win. And they're like, no, you congratulations. Just trying to do it. So the jinx is very real. I did wait.
Absolutely.
Until we were done, and then be like, all right, now I can text him, because and by the end, if I didn't text you 10 minutes before it was over, then you weren't going to text the last couple minutes. But I went until that way, even the 1 second was off the clock, because you're like, one more second,
you had don't to
text him yet, because something crazy is going to happen. So,
there's been so many moments in my Ole Miss fandom that have broken my heart. Like the 4th and 23 or whatever against Arkansas, where we had him stopped and then the tight end just like threw it backwards over his head. And then Alex Collins was able to pick it up and advance it for a first down. And then Arkansas ended up winning the game in overtime. And then we lost our bid to Atlanta. And then like the other one, like Laquan Treadwell getting his ankle broken going into the end zone against Auburn. And, you know, then there's the Elijah Moore peeing on the goalpost or on the end zone or whatever against Mississippi State. And then we missed the extra point. Here's something that I'm not going to explain, but is actually very, because it would take too long, but is actually very interesting to think about. That penalty by Elijah Moore against Mississippi State, where he lifted his leg and peed in the end zone, is the genesis of Ole Miss making it to the college football playoff semifinal.
Okay. So it's a pathway to it happening.
Yeah. I'll give you the Cliffs notes.
Okay. Yeah.
So Elijah Moore does that. It results in Matt Luke getting fired by Ole Miss. Then Ole Miss hires Lane Kiffin. And then we go on this run and now we're here. And it's wouldn't have happened without all that, because they wanted to keep Matt Luke before that happened.
That's true. Yeah. No, it's always those crazy what ifs in sports that you always go back and look at. And look, I think Georgia did well. I mean, Georgia always does well. They played well. They got better throughout the season. They're a really well-coached team. That's why we poached one of their coaches, is that they're a team that consistently gets better throughout the season. And they got better. And Gunnar Stockton is a hell of a quarterback. We know that. What's up?
I have some breaking news for Texas fans. Okay. Breaking on Open Gym, everyone.
All right.
Texas is targeting Georgia Tech defensive coordinator Blake Gideon for a high-ranking defensive role, sources tell CBS Sports. This is a report from Matt Zenitz.
Okay, so Blake Gideon could be coming back to the 40 Acres.
It appears that is the case. I've had this story in the can for about a week, so I am ready for that one to become official.
Yeah, with Will Muschamp coming back, it changes things up a little bit of where you can put him in the rankings of things. But he was part of that big secondary turnaround that they had a few years ago. So good to see that. With that'll be a good piece for Texas if they're able to get him. Matt, why don't we talk a little in NFL as well, because we're running out of time here on a Friday. We didn't get to a couple shows, so we got a lot to shove in here. But it is, we got Texas basketball too. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. It's not a ton to talk about with this because we haven't seen him play the SEC yet. So I'm curious to see what we get out of that. But there are still some important games that are happening this weekend. Two really big ones. So why don't we talk about those, and we'll make our picks on these two games, Matt. So these will round out our six picks for this week, because we already did. We had to do on Tuesday the games over New Year's, of course. But there's two games that are division deciding games.
Yep.
Which is the Panthers and the Bucks, and the Steelers and the Ravens. I've not. I'll look here in a minute, Joe. Have you seen the line? Are you telling me this because you've already seen the line? I haven't looked for it yet. But the Panthers and the Bucks, Matt, this is a big game of 2-8 Panthers and a 7-9 Buccaneers. The Buccaneers need to win this game and have the Falcons lose to win the division. The Falcons win, it doesn't matter either way, but the Falcons play on Sunday. This game is on Saturday at 3:30, so it is a little bit different of a time for what they're going to get done there. So with the Panthers and Bucks, they have to go ahead and make their move. The Falcons are playing on Sunday. They go and play the Saints, who have been playing better football. They're 6-10. This is not a terrible Saints team. And the Falcons seem to be like really good against some good teams. Like, they played great against the Rams, and then they'll probably just crap the bed against a Saints team the next week. But there's a line. It's Tampa Bay's favored by 3. It is in Tampa Bay, Matt. What do you like in this game?
Sorry, what was the spread on that one?
3. Tampa Bay favored by 3.
Both of these teams are extremely flawed, so I really don't know which way to go here. I feel like Tampa Bay has just been imploding, though. So I'm gonna go with the Panthers here. I don't have any faith that Tampa Bay can figure it out. Just the games that they've lost recently have been very head scratching, so I think that's probably going to continue.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like, especially with the Buccaneers favored in this game, I know that they, like, this could be a Buccaneers somehow pull it out, and, you know, we all laugh, but I think we're seeing more and more the offensive coordinators, and they had a ton of injuries this year, but you look at the turnaround in Carolina the last couple of years, they're finally getting some things going right. That's Dave Canales, offensive coordinator from Tampa Bay. And then you look at the Jags, who are playing really good football right now. So Liam Cohen, offensive coordinator from Tampa Bay. They've had some good offensive coordinators the last couple of years. Maybe that's starting to pay, you know, get on it, that Baker Mayfield is constantly having to change up what he's doing. The injuries across the board, Bucky Irving doesn't look the same way without Liam Cohen there, without Dave Canales, who are both really good guys at getting backs involved. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Panthers as well on this one, and think that they find a way to knock out the Bucks and win their division, and the Panthers make it back to the playoffs with a win in this game. And then on Sunday Night Football, there's no Monday Night Football this week, so Sunday Night Football, last game of the weekend, last game of the season, regular season, I should say. The 8-8 Ravens take on the 9-7 Steelers. Winner of this game goes on to play in the playoffs. They win the division, they make the playoffs. Loser goes home for both of these teams. Baltimore favored by 4.5, Matt. 4.5 is what Baltimore is favored by. They're in Pittsburgh. TJ Watt says he's feeling fine after that scary moment where he had the pierced lung or whatever it was. And so he was in the hospital, and now he's back, and they say he's feeling fine, and he's ready to, he wants to go out and play in this game. Aaron Rodgers, but you still have DK Metcalf suspended for the incident with the fan. So people believe the Ravens have been playing good enough football now that they're going to be able to handle this. Does Lamar Jackson make it back in the playoffs, or do we have a playoff with no Lamar Jackson, no Joe Burrow, no Pat Mahomes? Just all those guys are not, all your top level running quarterbacks that you think about are not going to be in it. Or, you know, do we lose Aaron Rodgers and maybe Aaron Rodgers gets embarrassed again one more time and the Steelers can finally fire Mike Tomlin like they've wanted to do for years?
Just because I want to speak that scenario into existence, I'm going to take the Ravens. I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers. I'm tired of the Mike Tomlin saga in Pittsburgh. And it just feels like Lamar Jackson coming back is going to be a big deal. I don't feel great about it, but I'm just going to go with the Ravens.
I'm going to go with the Steelers. I really don't think, and I think if DK Metcalf was back, I'd probably be a little bit closer on that, but 4.5 points, I'm going to take the 4.5 points. And I'm also going to say Mike Tomlin finds a way, man, as much as they don't want him to. Mike Tomlin finds a way. He's really, really good in those divisional games and close games. He's just really good at it. And I will say that they find a way to somehow win this game and make it to the playoffs. And Pittsburgh has to go, dang it, we're going to lose in the first round. But we had a winning season again and won the division, so we can't fire our coach. Oh, man. So I'm going to go with the Steelers on that one. I think I'm still behind you, so I have to catch up somehow. In this
what one. Was the spread one again?
4.5. Baltimore favored by 4.5.
Okay.
So there's a couple of picks. We'll also be paying attention. The Cowboys take on the Giants. It is a mostly meaningless game for both teams. It does feel like Jaden Blue is going to play a lot more in that game. The injury report for the Cowboys is they're arresting a lot of players that are kind of banged up, no sense getting them injured in the last game. So it does feel like Jaden Blue, I think Javonte Williams and some others are going to be out for this. So it does look like this could be a Jaden Blue chance for him to show if he can play in this game. But the big ones are going to be for the Texans watching. They have to play the Colts. They have passed, and Phillip Rivers is now not there anymore. Riley Leonard will be the starting quarterback for the Colts against the Texans. Texans have to win this game and then hope for the miracle that somehow Jacksonville lets it slide through their fingers and loses to the Titans. The odds of it happening are pretty slim right now. Houston is a 10-point favorite in their game. People believe they're going to do well in that game, but the Jags are a 13.5-point favorite. This is be very difficult for the Jags to be able to give it up to a 3-13 Titans team. Cam Ward's playing decent. Cam Ward had some plays in the last game that were just nuts. He's playing decent, but they just don't have a lot else there.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a realistic scenario there, but I sure am pulling for the Titans. I can tell you that. I can't stand whatever this Jags football team is. It just annoys me that they're good and that they're playing well. And I really am, like, the Texans are going to be my team in the playoffs. That's who I'm going to cheer for outside of the Rams, of course.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for a Rams-Texans Super Bowl, and whatever makes that easier for the Texans is what I want. It just doesn't seem very realistic.
If we look over at a couple other games that are kind of interesting right now, it is the Dolphins-Patriots is only interesting because the Patriots trying to hold on Drake May's MVP conversation. What do you do in that game? Do you feel good about it? And of course, Quinn Ewers, after having a really good game last week, what does Quinn Ewers do in this game? So I'm kind of interested to watch that one. If you look over, Chargers Broncos is a big seeding game as well. As you watch that one matters for our seeding as we go in to the final games of the season. Just some exciting stuff. Lions and Bears. Can the Bears continue to get better and better with what they're doing? I just think there's a lot of interesting games, but we're going to see how many people go off on these, figure it out. And the Rams, they're playing the Cardinals, but this is Matt Stafford. Can he come back and erase the memories of Monday Night Football and get back in the conversation to be an MVP candidate again, or the MVP favorite. Sorry, still a candidate, favorite again.
Yeah, I think he's going to bounce back in a really big way. Typically, when he plays poorly, he comes back the next week and plays really good football. And I still think he's going to win the MVP. I know that that Bill Simmons is out there with his Patriots hat on trying to bang the drum for Drake May. But for me, it's just, you know, you're going to give it to the elder statesman who's probably playing his last year of football. And I feel really good about that one if I'm a Rams fan, which I am.
Yeah. No. So we will see what all happens there on Saturday. And yes, the Blake Gideon news is good news for Texas fans. It did feel like that was a big possibility. We heard the rumors of that. As Matt said, he had an article ready to go for the Blake Gideon.
Just published it, actually.
There you go. That Blake, this has been discussed. We've been hoping for it. And then you reported it there just a few minutes ago that Blake Gideon looks like he's coming back to Texas now. And you're seeing the different reports that they're talking to him. And then they say he is coming and he is returning. That'll be the question, CB. The question will be, what else are they giving him up? Is he coming in now? He's working with Muschamp, which I think is he has a lot more respect for. That's not to say he didn't have respect for PK, but there's just a different relationship there with Muschamp. So we'll see where they put him there. And with Kenyatta Hudson departing today as well, it's still, there's another position open as well that he could bring somebody else in. But Blake Gideon is definitely a fun hire to bring back to Texas. I'm excited for it. It's good for Texas. I mean, they're doing a lot of things, and it's like this question. When you have these wholesale changes that Texas has, there's that little part of anxiousness until we get the entire story told. Because right now, we're half of the story told. And the end of it could be really bad or really good. If we get a report tomorrow, Cam Coleman is coming. And then Jaden Ball enters the portal and he's coming. And then, piece after piece, we start getting all these reports. All of a sudden, the rest of the story looks a lot nicer.
Yeah, this has been something I think that has been in the works for a long time. I believe on this show we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, almost as soon as they fired Dwayne Akina. It seemed like this was a move that they were looking at him and potentially, I guess I can say the name now, the Georgia safeties coach Tavarus Robinson was also a candidate for this job, I believe. But they end up going with Gideon. And I think it's an incredible hire. I really do. That's not me being a homer or anything like that. I mean, this guy's track record speaks for itself when he was at Texas. I mean, the recruiting he was able to do was unbelievable. When he was here, Texas had a Thorpe Award winner and Jahdae Barron. His recruiting was elite. He brought guys like Jonah Williams and Jordan Johnson-Rebell, Warren Roberson, Xavier Filsimi, Cade Phillips, Zealous Hicks, all into this program. And those are all guys who are going to be playing really high level roles for him next year. I'm not sure what the exact title is going to be as of yet. I don't know if it's co-DC and safeties coach or passing game coordinator in safeties or whatever the case may be, but he's going to do a tremendous job. Texas was one of the top pass defenses in the country when he was here in 24. And yeah, you're right. I was just about to bring that up, CB. This just hammers home the fact to me a little bit more that Derek Williams might be coming back to Texas because he's getting his safeties coach back. He's getting Will Muschamp in here, and he's a tremendous fit for a Will Muschamp defense. So I think that the good news could continue to roll in based off of this hire, assuming that it goes through the way we expect it to.
Yeah, good stuff there for Blake Gideon coming back to Texas. Looking forward to hearing more about that story and as it goes. We're going to take our second break, though, real quick. We come back, we'll talk a little Texas basketball, hit our meathead of the day, and wrap it up for the week as we continue on here on Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, I'm Hayden Covert. Welcome to Covert Buick GMC of Bee Cave, your home in the Hill Country for new and pre-owned Buick and GMC vehicles. With beautiful inventory arriving daily, including the GMC Yukon, Sierra 1500, and Buick Enclave, you'll be certain to find the perfect vehicle at an incredible deal. Our service department is also open for all your vehicle maintenance needs. Visit us today for a test drive. Covert, born and raised in Austin. We are professional grade.
Altstadt Beer, the best beer that you can find all throughout the great state of Texas. Y'all know I've been a fan of Altstadt for years now. And if you try it, I think you will be too. If you've already tried it, you know exactly what I am talking about. Altstadt is brewed locally in Fredericksburg, but available all over the state of Texas. So if you're tuned in Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, it does not matter. You can find Altstadt at a local grocery store or liquor store. They've got a bunch of different brews. Something for every beer drinker out there. The Lager, the Kolsch, those are their two flagship beers. Both award winners. They are fantastic. The Altstadt Light sacrifices on calories but does not sacrifice on the taste. They've got great pills, tons of great seasonals as well. I'm telling you, one sip and you won't go back to the other beers you've been drinking in the past. It is the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt Beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Hey, y'all, I'm Camille McKay.
And I'm Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations.
The old man and I are here to give you your summer weather forecast. It's hot.
That's right, kid.
Which means it's time for pool parties, grilling burgers, and taking a beach vacation, right?
Well, I don't know about a vacation, but Audiovisual brings more heat than any tropical destination.
It was worth a shot. I'll settle for some outdoor speakers.
You know, Audiovisual can do a lot more than that. We provide outdoor video screens, audio systems, landscape lighting, even solar shades for your patio to keep the Texas heat at bay.
Well, I'm sold. Let's wrap this up. I'm ready to lounge on a floaty and listen to some smooth jazz.
Well, that sounds wonderful, but some smooth reggae is the way to go this summer.
Good thing we can listen to both with the Sonos sound system. I call dibs on the floaty, though. Peace out.
Kid, wait a second. Give us a call at 512-255-8678 or visit us at avconsultations.com. That's 512-255-8678.
Welcome back in here to Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Wrapping up on a Friday afternoon. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us, talking, catching up after New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us here as we kick it to 2026 here on Open Gym. Texas basketball game tomorrow. Start off SEC play, Matt. You're going up against Mississippi State. This is a game of two teams that are probably on the lower end of the SEC. I believe they're like in the 80s in KenPom, 70s or 80s in KenPom. Texas is in the low 40s on KenPom. So those are the, you know, you're looking at Texas probably being maybe a little bit of a favorite in this game. They've got a couple of guards who can score points, shoot the ball pretty well, in Josh Hubbard and Jaden Epps. Luckily for Texas, these are not big guys. So they just got to be able to stay in front of them, try and put them in there. And if they can stop the three-point line, which they have not been great at this season, if they can stop some threes and go out there and actually play defense, they have a decent shot in this game. But, again, you have to have effort. Hopefully, over the break, Sean Miller has told them you probably should not be playing college basketball at this level if you don't want to try. So hopefully he's told them that. But
hopefully.
they have not been playing well defensively, putting in the effort defensively. They get tired easily. You've got to have a better performance than that. So hopefully they'll get that done this weekend. But this is a test of, all right, where are we sitting in the SEC? Do we feel a little bit better that maybe this is a team that's a bottom half team of the SEC, which is a really good conference, so that's not terrible? Or are you a bottom quarter team, which is pretty bad? So you want to be a bottom half team, and then maybe you could get better by the end of the season and work your way into that top half. But I don't – that my expectations are not super high just because I don't think they have necessarily the talent on this roster to get it done. But Tremar Marks playing a little bit better. If Dalen Swain figures it out, they'll be playing better. And we'll see Montez Voigtatis. They have their own 7-footer and Quincy Ballard. So those two guys is going to be an interesting matchup to watch as well on Saturday at the Moody Center. There is no line, so I don't know what injury yet. Yeah, Joe, there's no line. I don't know if there's an injury that they're looking out for. We don't get injury reports the same way, so I don't know if that's what they're kind of waiting on, is to see if a player is going to be out. I don't have the intel on that. We've not gotten too far into basketball as we've been doing football. So as I get closer into that and start reaching out to those people, but that is the piece that you can look for in the Texas Mississippi State game. But yeah, no line as of yet anywhere to be found. So you can go back and forth. If they let Mississippi State shoot threes all game, they're probably going to shoot 35-40%, and it's going to make it harder, because once you start letting teams score 80 points on you, it's not a prolific offense that Mississippi State has. If you let them become one because you're not playing good defense, you're going to lose a lot of games.
Yeah, I mean, you hope that Sean Miller got this thing figured out over the break. Gives you some time to sit back and reflect and kind of make some more adjustments, maybe do some hard thinking about the lineups and combinations you're putting out there on the floor, and ways to invigorate your team into playing a little bit harder. But I'm with you. I'm looking forward to that matchup of those 2 7-footers down low. I think that's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see. I still hold out hope that this is going to be a bottom half SEC team instead of a bottom quarter team. Maybe that's just me being the eternal optimist, but I like some of the pieces they have on the roster. They just need to make it flow a little bit better and get guys put in a little bit more effort. And I think that they can beat some teams. We'll just have to see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see. I know Chan is just thrilled to go watch Jordan Pope play again. I know it's Chan's favorite player. So I know he can't wait for that one. Let's get to our meathead of the day. And this is just for you, Matt. Justin Jefferson being asked about how he feels about if J.J. McCarthy should be the quarterback again next year.
That's not my job. Of course, I would love for him to be here. Of course, I would love for him to be the quarterback, especially off of this year. I feel like he needs to show everybody and prove to everybody that he is that top-tier quarterback. So I would love to have him, and I love to work with him and show everybody he is that number one guy. But I feel like it starts in the offseason, starts that offseason work and building that connection, eliminating those habits that he had that we felt that hindered him throughout the season. So just working on those little bitty pits of his game. But he's still young. He still has, learning to do and growing to do. So that's all part of the game. But it's up to me to, require more from him and to work with him more.
So there's Justin Jefferson. Not my place. Not my decision to make. And, I hope he figures it out. I hope he doesn't suck so bad next year, because I like the guy, but it's going to take him working a little bit harder for him to be able to be our quarterback next season.
Yeah, that's a real roundabout way for him to say, man, he sucked this year. He needs to get better.
Some of the things that we decided he was not doing right.
Justin Jefferson is part right. He does have to have a bunch of things to work on and get better, but I don't think he's going to be able to do it because he's not very good.
Just, I thought they're still that into you. Start the new year with some J.J. McCarthy hate. Well, I know,
You know what, man? It's been about the best 36 hours that I can possibly ask for. So one more little cherry on top certainly won't hurt.
Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Chan. Thank you, Longhorn Lubbock. Everybody, CB, everybody hung out with us here. And everybody hung out with us in 2025. We're hoping to hang out with us here in 2026. We'll be back on Monday and getting back to our normal schedule. I don't think we're going to be taking weekdays off in the middle of the week anymore. So looking forward to getting to 2026 with you guys here on Open Gym and getting into an off season. And I'm sure on Monday we will have lots to talk about, Matt. There will be a lot of things happening this weekend. So we will get into all that. We hope you join us on Monday. But until then, be kind, be safe, keep your underwear clean. We'll see you right back here Monday for more from Open Gym.